This episode of WW Today is brought to you by
Off to Neverland Travel.
Like Will says very dramatically, very unpodcastily.
In a world where you can go to Disney
World
from a magic maker's perspective.
That's right. Hey, if you want that perspective, they are accepting new magic makers right now, which are essentially their version of a travel agent. So go over to their website, go to neverland.com, click the button that says our story, and also then click become a magic maker. And you can do that at their website, go to neverland.com. You can also book your vacation through them. Their concierge service is going to make sure you have a great time and that your vacation is expertly planned. They're not just Disney fans. They're Disney travel experts.
GOTONEVERLAND.COM. And as Will usually says,
all you got to do is pack. All right. Go to neverland.com. Sorry, Kyle. Sorry, Chet. All right. On with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, June 1st, 2016. This is episode 1514 of WDW Today. Hope you guys all had a good weekend, holiday weekend.
I don't remember it.
Oh, was that good?
Memorial Day.
Oh.
It was a joke. No one got it.
Nope, didn't get it. Today, we're going to do another listener-submitted topic. Really like those, so submit your topic ideas, because it's a lot of fun, does our work for us, and also gives us new ways to go and places we may have never been. A lot of them are come off, you know, some similar, so come up with some creative ones. We want some unique creative ideas. I sound like I'm making elephants fly over here. Creative ideas, uniqueness.
Happen,
make it happen.
Just do it.
That's Terry's other show, if you haven't been listening to this podcast talking about it. All right, this topic is by Rob Ray 3 on Twitter. Rob Ray, he said he wants to know the favorite thing in each park that's not a ride or an attraction. So,
can you define that for me, Logan?
We're going to say no ride, no show. Other than that, I feel like all bets are off for that.
Well, most things are off, too.
Yes, I know.
Because most things are a ride or a show. But
yeah, well, there are a lot of other things. So I'm going to pitch around who wants to take it first.
I'll get started this week.
Yeah, last week I took it. So we'll give it to T-Weaves this week.
I've spoken too much already.
Yeah, you know, we do hear that all the time, that people want to hear more Logan on the show.
You know, it's been a while since people complained about that. Leave me alone, man.
So we're going to the Animal Kingdom today, because why not?
Well, why would we?
Yeah, and so, but to the village of Harambe, which is most of the area that they call Africa at the Animal Kingdom, and that is my favorite non-attraction at the Animal Kingdom, and probably all over the park, all over the resort. So much to do, from the official home of the hashtag Adult Whip in Animal Kingdom, right there in the Harambe village. You have the brand new, newly opened this last year, Harambe Market, with a great outside counter service eatery. I love the theming of this whole area. Yeah, just a great...
Where is this, if we're talking about it? Where is this?
This is Africa. So right before you get on the safari, that whole area, even down into where the Festival of the Lion King is, that is considered Harambe. Because the story is, as you're in Harambe, this village, and the safari leaves from there. It's just a fun area. There's always like lots of great streetnosphere, lots of great... there's always like a little African band playing there, and I like this. Like this,
as you can tell, I know a whole lot about Animal Kingdom.
Yeah,
place this in my mind.
Yeah, right before you get on the safari, is considered, and right behind there, they just opened a brand new quick service area that's themed just like Harambe.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I think of a safari is waiting in that line. It says, "From here, you've got another hour. From this point, make sure you make it before dusk, or ha ha, in your face, you waited 3 hours for nothing." That's a good one. I like that one. I haven't really experienced it in a long time, but I'm gonna go to Animal Kingdom again. Now they got all this new nighttime stuff and Avatar. So look, I'm gonna try to fall back in love with the Animal Kingdom. You want me to take it, Will? You want to go?
I'll go next. Okay. I'm going a little bit more specific than just a
land.
But I'm gonna say Rose and Crown at Epcot.
Okay.
Because it's more of an experience than just going to a restaurant. Rose and Crown is the British pub in the UK pavilion in Epcot.
Never been.
You've never, been?
You've been right outside it because we talked about last episode talking about the old
old walk up, old British invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've okay. Well, first of all, it's really cool. They did a really good job with the inside. I've spent quite a few time in a British pub in like Oxford, England.
Oh yeah, that doesn't sound pretentious at all.
I've you know,
money bags.
I've definitely done some pub crawling, and I will just say they did a really good job on the interior, the decor, the entire atmosphere of it feels really authentic. You can go in, you can get some pub fare. You can get, I think I mentioned last week, the Macallan Flight or Scotch Flight.
I've done that before.
Try different ales.
I'm a Scotchman myself. So.
And then you also, they have music inside from time to time. So it is definitely feels kind of, probably actually, it feels more rowdy than a actual British pub. Most British pubs in reality are kind
of dull. So many, they're quiet. Yeah.
But it's fun. It's got good atmosphere, good music, and it is a lot more entertaining of a restaurant just going into than just going into like the Italian restaurant in the Italy Pavilion or the other things.
And the bar area definitely feels like a pub bar. Like I
you
like that.
Forget that it's one of those things that you oddly feel like once you're inside and you're not looking around and noticing you're in a theme park, you do kind of forget that you're there. Also,
they used to have the hat lady. The hat lady's gone, but it's the same woman. Now she just does like covers and things and sits there and plays piano. I loved it was the hat lady.
She has like the British gimmick. Flag kind of regalia on.
I think so. I may not remember that clearly. You know what I do?
You know why you don't remember
that
clearly?
Yes, I do.
It's that late on the Drinking Around the World special that you kind of...
What I like about that is... and I like this about a lot of them, which is odd. And people are going to think this is weird because it sounds horrible. But... And I like about that and Kava and some of these others, it's really the only, like, you think about the world that you live in, the only place you can really go to a straight up bar with like your 7-year-old. Like, or like you can just go.
Like it's acceptable in and be
and legal. It's acceptable and legal to have a baby with you. Even let's say a baby in a stroller that you parked outside and, you know, sit down at the bar and have a fun time.
Beyond legality, you're not like judged inside the theme park.
Maybe you are a little.
I don't know. I don't judge
people. You're giving your kid their first experience at a British pub or at a tequila bar. That needs to be, that's every kid needs that experience early on.
Son, this is how you do a shooter.
Man up. Man up and try this avocado margarita sans virginal.
Say that again, please.
I don't want
virgin.
What
does that mean?
Virgin margarita.
Virgin avocado margarita.
Virgin avocado margarita is the grossest thing you've ever
blended
had.
Blended avocado with salt.
Yeah, I'm not gonna call out who this is.
Guacamole.
But a friend of mine, I heard that her kid calls them mama ritas, and the kid has versions that don't have alcohol in them. They call kid aritas. And the kid came up and they said, "Here's a kid arita," and she said, "Oh, then you have mama aritas." So we'll hit Epcot one.
And Terry's never been. So next time we're down there all together, we need to take Terry so he can experience it. Because a lot of fun.
I've seen it.
No, you can't say I've seen it.
You've never been inside of it.
I've never like gone. I've had reservations there even, or just something else came up and we never made it.
The food is solid.
You're not going for the food.
Well, I mean, it's like you're not going to England for the pub food. Their fish and chips are fine. Everything is sort of, I'd say it's acceptable. I've sat outside. That's pointless. Don't do that. There are great seats if you're watching Illuminations, but during the day, no, don't waste your time. They may sit you out there. You may have no choice. But again, the food is good.
Don't even sit. Just go stand by the bar.
Stand by the bar. Have a good time. If you're doing the tour that Will likes to do, you can stop there. You know, it's a good place to stop and take a breather too. Bar stools, you can. I don't know, there are bar stools. I don't think there are. I think you just stand.
I think I was on your shoulders last time.
That's right.
Sitting on your shoulder. So I felt like
the hat lady was on your shoulders.
We had a human totem pole.
We had a...
Wow.
We were doing triple chicken. It was fun.
Triple chicken? Who was the third person?
The hat lady.
That would just be double chicken.
Okay. Triple chicken would be Terry.
Terry's never been.
I don't know. Okay. Double chicken. Fine. It was
double chicken.
Double chicken. The old Logan Will hat lady special. I like that one, and I can place that one in my head. The Harambe Market, I'm a little vague on.
But I said Harambe Village, the entire
the whole village. I can think what it looks like, but I thought you were gonna say divine. Nobody? No Divine fans here?
The Divine was cool back in the day.
What, Divine is still there? Picture of
I know Divine is there because of this reason. I tried to book Divine for De Los Partes Festival. Divine cannot appear legally outside of the park, but they would have given me another version like Divine, but it would have been like multiple. It would have been more expensive than any of the bands on the bill. So there you go. Good to know. That's
nice.
So
I like
don't expect Divine as the surprise guest.
Not the surprise.
I think the surprise we have is way better.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that
I'm neutral. I'm neutral.
All right. So mine is a little bit different, as always. I like the Magic Kingdom. I'm going over to the Magic Kingdom.
But your favorite non-attraction or ride is the Magic
Kingdom. Is the Magic Kingdom non-attraction? Just walking around. No, I like... here's something we do every time. We've been doing this recently. Not every time, but if you were kids. And I like to bring that perspective at least. We've been doing the silhouettes with our kids at the Magic Kingdom quite often. They're pretty cheap. Let's even Google the price of what they are. They're so much fun to get. They're visually great. They're a great piece to have on the wall to keep forever because it is like a perfect silhouette of your child as a kid or as an adult or do whatever
aren't
you want.
Really fast, too.
Really fast. Lightning fast, like a minute and a half to get them done. And
$8.
They do them by $8. They do them by hand. They cut them and literally look at the side of your kid's face and cut them by hand. It's a magic trick, really. I mean, some ways it is magic and it's really incredible. My mom actually took my baby picture when I was a kid. It wasn't even like a perfect photo, and they did it and it looked just like I did when I was a kid, which is a lot like my son. So we have both of those framed, as well as my brother. My mom has my brother and me. I have my son and myself and our niece. And then I hope to get them for my girls when I go down next. I like those little, and this is just to kind of expound upon that, I like those little things on Main Street that are kind of overlooked because everyone's heading for an attraction. So you have silhouettes. You have some of those really cool areas just to sit over in one of those little side streets. You've gotten your hair cut. I've never done the haircut myself, but I almost took my son there, but it was booked when I tried to get a haircut. Ride the little fire truck and all that if you get there early enough. A lot of those old Disneylandy feeling kind of things that still exist on Main Street that I feel like are very overlooked because at Rope Drop people aren't going to ride the fire truck. You know, and they're going to head to Space Mountain.
Just to jump in on that is that I'm looking probably at the same price place that you pulled up. It's from Touring Plans.
I'm on touringplans.com.
Yeah, it's a couple years old though, the article when they posted, so it may have adjusted, but still
it's not more than $10, $15.
Yeah, and that's just for the silhouette. You can get it framed for like another $8, so it's 16 total if these prices still stand. What else can you get a cool memento of your kid that really isn't it doesn't scream Disney?
No, it says Disney really lightly on the bottom,
right? But it's still a very cool like experience memento, and it's that you can't even get a dadgum refillable cup for $16. Yeah, I don't think
it's really good. It's a great memento. Not like I said, not just a Disney memento. Like I'll have these
family
forever.
Heirloom almost. Yeah,
all these forever. And their silhouette art is actually pretty rare to find these days. There's not usually like one state has one person that
Gatlinburg.
Does
Gatlinburg.
But the people at Disney World have been doing it. And you can watch. Go to YouTube and find some videos. People have been doing it at Disney World, Disneyland for their entire pretty much adult life. Some of the same people, and they're training the next generation. And the majority of people that know how to do silhouette art, it's like just fact, know how to do the silhouette cutting. Because again, it's live. There's no shadowing, nothing. It's live looking at someone and cutting with their hands a piece of paper. Most of them have been trained out of Disneyland or Disney World because it's really kind of a dying art at this point. And I love it. It's one of my favorite pieces we have.
That's awesome.
Of my kids. And that's sort of mine. And like I said, there's a lot of other little things that are on Main Street that are overlooked. Some are gone. You know, some have been taken away, whether it was, you know, some of the cool little areas you could walk in, but most of them are just stores now. But I like those sort of little side streets. Any other
side shows?
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do, either on Main Street or the hub of any of the parks, is just to grab a park bench and sit and just kind of soak it all in and look at all the little extra things that are there that have been created. And, you know, Main Street,
right.
Main Street, I could just sit on the curb at Main Street and just people watch. There's something about being on Main Street and smelling the bakery and the guy with the balloon going down, you know.
And all the unique little things in the windows that are almost like little Easter eggs. Yeah. Picking those things out.
Yeah, I'm saying now they have even like games that interact with those you can do.
There's right, yeah, yeah. So it's just the cool things that really it does go back to a lot of Walt's original vision. And like you brought up, it's some of the similarity between the almost carnival atmosphere of like Disneyland that they put in at Disney World, and that is still very much a part of the experience. And if if you just go for the attractions and rides, you're not getting the full experience.
Yeah, I think you're missing the point. One of the things that you pointed out, and I think it's not something I do, but I've recently uncovered this world. And I've done it 1,000 times. So has my son. He's done it 1,000 times. He's only 3. That would be very excessive. Is the pressed pennies. Not a big... Yeah. I'm fine. Fine. Pressed pennies. Cool. I didn't know there's an entire online community of pressed penny collectors.
No way.
And
like 5 of them?
There are websites which tell you, not just in Disney World, but anywhere,
where the
machines are. Yeah. So you can go, if you're on a trip, I need to go to... And every time I see them, and now I think of it, it's like I saw Rainforest Cafe. I'm like, oh, look, there's a pressed penny machine.
Do you check the website to cross-reference it?
I haven't done that, but I did check if there was one... I was checking specifically for one. I forget what it was. Oh, I was looking for one. It was one collectible for Halloween Horror Nights collectible that I was looking for. And someone brought up the pressed pennies that kind of led me down that rabbit hole of pressed pennies. Other ones I'm trying to think of off the top of my head that would be good. Any that pop in your mind?
I love that Will mentioned the windows, just all of the Main Street windows that have been given honors to people in the Disney company. And I love to sit there and kind of just know the history. And I think one of the things, as we're in a season of change at the parks, we're kind of in one of the big culture shifts where there's a lot of things that have changed and a lot of new things coming. I think, you know, those windows are always going to be there, and they're a great reminder of the history of the parks and those who played a role in creating all of these things.
Epcot has the Leave a Legacy things up front, which obviously you don't really go... Well, a lot of people hate them because they're kind of an eyesore. I have a picture in one with my wife before we were even married. So that's something we usually stop and look at. And
was that for one of your 24-hour trips?
It was less than 12 hours. And we went at 9, flew back at... We landed at 9, flew back at 9. Or landed earlier. No, I think we landed at 9 and left Orlando at 9 at night. So we have that. We've shown our son that. That's something that's fun. There's a lot of stuff in Epcot like that. I'd say Epcot has kind of a walking...
Terry's called it an art exhibition, yeah. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, so I think Epcot kind of lends itself to that. Hollywood Studios, would you count One Man's Dream as an attraction? I don't know. That's maybe a one you could say is a museum.
Is it an attraction if no one's attracted to it?
Exactly. That's what I mean. If you're not going to the park for it,
right.
Like there's not on your itinerary typically.
I don't miss it if it's a trip. We typically go through it at least. We don't go to the movie, but we always walk through just to see if there's anything new.
Right. You know, one thing I do every trip is I do what I call the Kingdom Keepers tour. That's where I go through my annotated copy of Kingdom Keepers, and I do everything that the kids do in the book.
Which is where you have to stay up all night.
Yeah, you sneak it. Hide in the bathroom. It's very elaborate, but it is very... I highly recommend everyone try it at least once.
Kingdom Keepers 1.
Yeah. Oh,
the original Ridley Pearson classic.
None of those sequels.
No, we went off the rails there. So going cruise line. Give me a break. No, I'm kidding. I've read that. I love that. Quick little side story. Will and I went to a Ridley Pearson, which I know he's been on some other podcasts too. I know he's a Disney podcast listener and also likes to reach out and be part of the community. You guys have seen he does meet and greets all through Disney World all the time. Well, in Nashville, he doesn't have quite the fan base as he does at Walt Disney World. So Will and I went to a now defunct bookstore and sat with about 7 other people.
Which 4 of them were children. A mom and their child. Uh-huh. So that's one mom, one child, one mom, one child.
And Will and I, my wife, who sat in the back, because I think she was slightly ashamed
that we were there
at his book signing and his reading. And there's also one man who, maybe you're listening. If you are, God bless you. He would love the Kingdom Keepers, but got so mad at something that was said.
And we don't even know what it was.
Yeah. Something that he was there and waited in line and did not meet Ridley Pearson.
He got off with a huff and stormed off before he even got his book signed.
Yeah, it was awesome. So those are the memories.
I think it was that he was talking more about the Peter Pan series.
Yeah, the Star Catchers.
Right.
Peter the Star Catchers was going to Broadway at the time. Okay, so to wrap it up, Harambe Market.
Old Rose and Crown.
Rose and Crown. I'm going to say silhouettes and other little various things you can do on Main Street. I'm sure there's others. So what part? We only left out...
Turkey Legs.
Hollywood Studios. So come on, let's go something to Hollywood Studios. Think about it.
The Walk of Fame.
The little statue heads.
Yeah.
Who hasn't gotten their picture taken next to the statue heads. Yeah, yeah. I like the statue.
You got Walt. You got.
You haven't done. You haven't.
There was Bill Cosby.
There was Bill Cosby.
I don't have a lot of park pictures.
Yeah. His family was against cameras because they were.
No, we just left it at home because when I was a child, my dad left the old camera on the ride. Remember?
That's right.
On the Haunted Mansion. No, actually, it's that we were locals, so we just didn't
go. It was like going to the park.
Right.
Pre-phone. All right. I hope that answers your question. Let's give a call to the man himself who pitched us this idea.
And we're going to do it just like we did last week. We're going to see what happens when we just cold
call. Hopefully they'll answer.
Here's the number.
This is Rob Ray.
So it's got, yeah, well, Will does this. Hollywood Studios. So there's got to be something else in Hollywood Studios that we're not really thinking of because Streets America are gone. Some of those things are gone. There's not a whole lot. It's just a lot
of peanut butter and jelly shake, obviously.
Hello, this is Rob.
Hey, Rob. This is Logan, Terry, and Will here at WW Today.
You just won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes.
You just won a dinner at Victoria and Albert's Chef. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Just clear that up. You did not. I can't afford that. Well, you're on. You are being recorded right now for our podcast. Thank you so much for submitting your question, or your not question, sorry, submitting the topic that we decided to use for this show. We are thrilled to have you on. So we wanted to ask you that question and have you answer since you put this in. What is your favorite non-attraction to do? And you can pick one park. It's fine. At Walt Disney World. The non-attraction or non-ride.
Non-attraction. So when I was thinking through that, what I came up with was basically anything that you didn't have a queue to get into kind of thing.
Okay.
I was able to come up with one for each park, but probably the one that is kind of so for like Magic Kingdom, I kind of went with the idea of the castle projection show was what I came up with.
Okay, solid.
Because you can just walk by and see that, and it's one of those things that just kind of like, what in the world is going on?
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
So that was kind of the first one that popped into my mind.
Okay, yeah. If you got the others handy, just hit them with us because I love that one because I wouldn't have thought of that one. And that's something I did on my last trip and just blown away. Like, my son cared about the fireworks, but that projection show when Buzz Lightyear turned the thing into a rocket ship and it flew away, it was like unreal. Yeah, so, totally. No, that's a great one.
So the other one that caught me off guard, one of the first times we went in Epcot, and we thought everything was done for the day, and we're walking out, and all of a sudden my kids look down on the ground, and all of a sudden there's fireworks on the ground.
Yeah.
Just that little thing where you think everything's over with, and all of a sudden the kids spend another 30 minutes just playing around with the fireworks
just on
the
ground.
Just
a little touch of magic there.
It's called a little fiber optic
sidewalks there, yeah.
Very cool. All right, so we got those two down, so two more to go.
So the Studios one was a little bit difficult for me because I think the ones that I would have said aren't there anymore.
That's what we just said.
So Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. One of those authors just walking around. It's like, what is that awesome music? I got to go check that out. And then Animal Kingdom is similar. It's in the African area, they've got these, the band that comes out and just does these incredible shows, that just totally takes you right into that atmosphere.
You're going to like my answer. So, but we'll keep it for all you until you listen to the show.
Yeah, we don't want to ruin your commute whenever it is you listen to the show. Well,
all right.
Those are great answers. Hey, I don't think you do, but you got anything to plug? Anything you want to promote while you're here? Because you did us a favor. You did your job, or you did our job for us. Anything that we can help you with?
No, man. I just I love the show, guys, and just wanted to toss that in there and see what you got. I'm looking forward to hearing your answers.
All right, please do again. So feel free to suggest a way. It helps us a lot. Thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye. Have a good one.
Well, that was awesome. Well, if you want to submit your show topic idea, because I think that was a lot of fun, and you could be on the show as well, just tweet us, Facebook message us, do everything. If you got ideas, let us know. You can be part of the show because we had fun doing these. I think that's a good one. So,
it's a fun show.
So he had one for all four, so he trumped us. We missing anything?
Oh,
I think we're good.
All right, I think we're good. Let's move on to listener questions with Lynn right after a quick word from ourselves. Hi, I'm Logan Sekulow. You may know me from the podcast WDW Today that you're listening to right now and the last voice that you heard. But I wanted to take a second
and Will and Terry did as well, to tell you about our event, De Las Puertas, Magic, Music, and Media Festival. It's coming up September 30th at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in Claremont, Florida, just about 20 minutes, 20 miles away from the Magic Kingdom. And we are making the ultimate unofficial Disney fan fest that you're going to love. It's going to be a blast. Like I said last week, we are putting all of our efforts. We are focusing like a laser beam to make this something you're never going to forget, with amazing surprises and amazing scheduled guests like Off Kilter, like American Martian, formerly known as Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. You just heard Rob mention them in this show. We got Four for a Dollar, who you may know from Hollywood Studios. We also have recently announced The British Invasion is going to be coming to De Las Puertas Festival. So that's all the music we're going to have. Plus, we're going to be doing there, hosting the entire night. Mr. Ron Schneider is going to be there. Ron, R-O-N Schneider, just not to be confused. The Dreamfinder himself. And it's going to be a blast, and tickets are on sale now.
And we promised that we would change your life with this festival, and I can guarantee you that we already have. If you've been thinking about De Las Puertas Festival, this little freebie we've thrown out to you, you'll never be able to describe the holiday Dia de las Muertas ever again. It'll always pop up Dia de las Puertas, which
we tried it multiple times today.
Can't do it. So that's just a little freebie, just to let you know how we're already changing your life with this great magic, music, and media festival.
Again, so that event is going to be awesome. We're going to be out there recording, like I said, live podcasts. There's also a pre-show that's going to be happening 6 to 7 o'clock with Guitar Dan from the Animal Kingdom.
Wouldn't that be Guitar Dan?
Guitar Dan, I'm sorry. With Drunken Disney from Twitter, Disney Lifestyler, that's Corinne, Character Queen, The Big Fat Panda, 365 at Disney, Samantha Haar from The Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan, Michelle Atwood from Main Street Mouse, Bart Scott from Ears of Steel, one of my favorite podcasts. He'll be out there, and more we're going to be adding, and there's going to be super big surprises. We can't tell you here. We're going to have a lot of fun. Join us out at Claremont. The website is dlpfest.com, and tickets are on sale now. And just a word of advice, some front row tickets may be being released pretty soon, so make sure you head over there and pick up some last minute front row tickets.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
Tony L wants to know, will Disney ever build another freestanding DVC on WDW property?
That's more your.
Should we sloppy odds makers this? Should we the odds?
Sure. What are your odds?
100%.
That they'll build 100%. A standalone Disney Vacation Club.
Yeah, and I think my prediction is it will be something in the moderate range, something that's in the lesser amount of points because they've gone luxury with the last few options. That's my prediction, and I'm sticking with it.
So would that just essentially be to get more people in, to have more inventory, essentially? Because aren't you technically tied to a property?
Yeah, you're tied to a property.
You're tied for the fact that you get the real benefit of being tied to a property is you get to book at 11 months versus 7 months.
Right, but I'm saying having more inventory, because in theory, if there's a finite amount of rooms on a property,
right,
then they're going to have to add more properties to, if they're filling up, to
sure,
to yeah. have technically more inventory. Obviously, it's an accounting game for them that they probably don't technically have to have the inventory. But would that be kind of a thought process? Maybe anybody?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely an accounting thing because they book the DVC revenue as part of theme park revenue,
right?
And so they can't ever stop because the year in which they stop will be the year in which theme park revenue decreases, mm-hmm. and no one wants to be CEO when that happens.
Right.
I definitely think the next standalone is going to be somewhere over in the Magic Kingdom, probably Fort Wilderness.
Hmm.
I'd be surprised if that wasn't it. You know, I think the next one after do Wilderness Lodge is Yacht Club, which is not going to be freestanding. They'll just convert some rooms.
Yeah, they cleared some space over by Fort Wilderness a few years ago. That we thought was going to be another resort. There's still nothing there. So
no, I think it will be. I think it's the next.
And that's
thing.
Right They'll, by Fort Wilderness. You're right. So I think there's
the other. But I think then the next freestanding will definitely be somewhere in the Magic Kingdom. If it's not over by Fort Wilderness, then it'll be somewhere between the Polynesian and the Contemporary.
Ooh. Cool. I like the idea of staying at Fort Wilderness in a hotel, really, or in a vacation clubhouse. I would actually consider staying there for sure because I love all the amenities of Fort Wilderness. All right, Terry.
No, Terry no. just went.
Well,
I just asked that question.
I've got Andrew Waghorn.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew says, any tips on getting on Soarin' in early June when presumably in soft openings?
And so, same thing to what we talked about in an earlier show about Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Yeah, either very early, very late, or meal times. So around 12:30 in the afternoon, and then around 6:30 in the evening.
Yeah, and then if you're talking about soft opening, again, they never announce when soft opening's happening. You can bet on certain dates, but follow people on a lot of people on Twitter. That's the best way. Follow a ton of Disney bloggers, the people that are in the parks each and every day, like our friend the Panda or some of those guys. Follow them, and they will probably keep you updated on if it's open for the day. If you're following any of Universal with the Reign of Kong, that's what every day I get reports on that. So that's something to
just repeatedly ride Living with the Land and look over when you get off every time and see if it's open.
Lynn, is there any feature in touring plans at all that tracks soft openings like that?
No, not really. It's we look at Twitter, and we have people in the parks as well. And that's
yeah, and obviously follow touring plans. They're a great source for that. Let's go then to Daffy Stardust. It's my favorite name ever.
Daffy Stardust. Follow Daffy Stardust. Right,
this
everyone.
Is another Soarin' question. When the new version of Soarin' in a third theater opening, will the original version still be shown at all? I would go with no.
I'd say
zero chance at that one.
Typically, when they revamp something, that means
that's one time they're like, we should take Star Tours and leave one original. It's like, no, folks, we're going away from it. Look, I love that original show. I was kind of sad to see it go too, but.
Everyone's going to love Soarin' over Florida.
So much more. No. Yeah, that swampland.
So
beautiful.
Get on your YouTubes at home and get some orange air freshener and some evergreen.
Do it yourself.
And evergreen instead.
Get yourself a recliner and just move back and forth.
Move back and forth.
All right. Next question.
Terry?
Joseph Good wants to know, is there really any traction to the Guardians of the Galaxy redo of Tower of Terror rumors?
All right. So, I have my thoughts, but Lynn, you're the mastermind first, and then give us your thoughts.
You know, in California, yeah, possibly. I don't think it's going to happen in the world.
That's how I feel too. California, I think it's. I would be willing to bet on it happening. I just think that there is enough interest there to see it happening, and I'm that one person saying I wouldn't mind to see it everywhere. So,
my favorite scene in Guardians of the Galaxy was actually when they were in the elevator and it fell. That was my favorite scene.
Yeah, everyone knows that. All right.
All right, I'm taking the next question from Gene Poffel, and Mean Gene Poffel says, "Will Disney?"
That was a Macho Man's real name,
and actually, it's Mean Gene's Twitter handle.
Okay.
So, will Disney After Hours continue to be offered in the future? I'd probably plan a trip around one. Same question.
Yeah, we got the same question in.
Gotcha.
So we got the same question in from Tess, who sent a email and who said, "Hey guys, love the cast. A question for Lynn. I know people are ragging on it due to bad sales, but I'm dying to go to one. Do you think there's any chance there'll be more in the fall?"
No. So the last event that I heard, their ticket sales goal, Disney's ticket sale goal for the entire event was 160 tickets, 160. I don't think they sold that many. So I don't. I think this is a one and done type of thing.
Well, dadgum, I got to get down there real fast. I want to go back.
When we're recording this, Thursday's the last one.
I'm going down there tomorrow.
Yeah, let's go.
I've considered.
Yeah, there's not, and I don't think there. I don't even know that that morning thing is going to happen. We sort of saw the writing on the wall after the first one of these. It's just not. It's too expensive.
It sounded awesome to me.
I would agree. The feedback was so negative. I think that it got written up in beyond Disney press. When ticket increases happen, they started announcing these things. You know, I think Forbes did an article about it. So
I definitely read it in some newspapers.
So I think that it was a victim of its own, you know, demise in some way. But I did want to do it. And the pictures I saw from my friends that did it looked unbelievable. My wife and I considered going because annual pass members right now is $75. But, you know, we didn't get to go. So, oh, well.
Hey, but you're going to see Hamilton. So get over
going to see Hamilton. Don't know which one I prefer. Not going to lie. Disney World with zero people in it would cost me like $300,000. Or $75.
Disneyland with no people in it. You could probably have bought 200 tickets at $75 a pop.
Yeah, exactly.
And just had Disney refund the money for everyone else, and for $15,000 you could have had the park to yourself for 3 hours.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's insane. Knowing how much these events are. By the way, you want to spend $15,000 to do an event at Walt Disney World? Tell me what that is. And trust me, that involves no rides being turned on, probably. So, I mean, that's honestly what my thought process was like. This is the only way I'll be able to experience this. So I'm right there with you, Gene. I'm right there with you.
Tess.
But it ain't happening. All right. That was intense. We got through a lot of questions. Thank you, Len.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to the greatest band of podcasting, Off Kilter, and of course, offkilter.net for all their latest tour dates and where they're going to be. And of course, where they're going to be is where we said they were going to be, which is De Las Puertas Fest, dlpfest.com. Join us along with so many Disney social media stars, bands, all this great. We're just going to give you the night of your life, I promise. You're going to love it. You're going to love the way you feel.
DiaDeLasMuertas.com.
No, dlpfest.com. Get your tickets now. Also, of course, we couldn't do this show without our buddies Off It Off to Neverland Travel. Get your custom vacation package planned right now or become a magic maker yourself. Go to Neverland.com. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
That's right. All you got to do is pack. For me, Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
I'm Len Testa.
That'll do it for today's show. Rate and review us on iTunes and send in your show topics to us as well. We'll talk to you on the next show. Some